Okay, this is Isaiah chapters 46 and 47. This is a pretty quick commentary, so it won't take too much of your time, but we'll get going. This lesson is pretty straightforward. We have the description of the fall of Babylon with a comparison of the pagan gods versus the one true God. In Babylonia, it was customary in times of festivals to process with the molten idols of Bel or Merodach, sometimes called Bel Merodach, which were the idols associated with rain, vegetation, and magic. All the major idols of the Babylonian pantheon were brought to the capital of the city of Babylon to participate in grand processions. Bel Merodach was the head of the pantheon, and Nebo, or Nebu, was Bel's son, the god of wisdom and writing. During the festivals, the images of the deities, including Bel Merodach and Nebo, were carried on carts drawn by oxen through the streets of Babylon in a procession with the king holding the hand of Bel Merodach, signifying his loyalty and submission and partnership with the god. I think that's hilarious. Could you imagine holding, you know, this golden thing, hand of this golden idol? Anyway, the idols were also carried off in times of war for protection. Isaiah's description is a reminder that these idols are powerless and are burdensome to the cattle who had to carry them, as well as burdensome to the people. These false idols cannot save them from God's agent, who was the Cyrus of Persia. Isaiah compares these false idols to Yahweh. The people have to carry their idols, whereas Yahweh has always carried and cares for his people. It is Yahweh who carried Israel, each man and woman, since they were conceived in the womb of their mothers. God has preserved this remnant, those who remain, of the house of Israel. He will continue to be with them until they are old and gray. It is he who will protect and save, and no other. As we move to chapter 47, Isaiah describes the conquest of Babylon by Cyrus by giving an account of the humiliation of Babylon's deities. Commands are given to Babylon in verse 1. They are the commands to step down and to sit on the dust and the ground without a throne. Sit on the ground, no throne, daughter of Chaldeans, for never again will you be called tender and delicate. The Chaldeans were an ethnic group that achieved domination over the region and therefore came to be known as the Babylonians. So verse 1 and 2, Isaiah uses images of conquest and captivity to describe Babylon's coming fate at the hands of God's agent Cyrus. Instead of living as a royal princess, Babylon would receive the same shameful treatment they inflicted on the citizens of Judah and others. What Yahweh is bringing to Babylon will be justice for her past acts of cruelty on other peoples. Isaiah reveals the real reason for Judah's exile into Babylon was not because of Babylon's power, but because of God's judgment against Judah's sins. God is now going to subject Babylon to judgment because Babylon failed to show mercy to their conquered peoples, especially the elderly. Babylon may have been God's instrument of divine judgment, but Babylon has gone beyond what was necessary in the conquest by being cruel to the captives and being arrogant in those actions. In verse 8, we find that Babylon was so arrogant and so confident that she believed nothing disastrous, like being defeated in war that left many widows in much sorrow, would ever happen to her. But Isaiah's answer to her in verse 9 is, "Yet, both these things will befall you. Suddenly, in one day, bereavement and widowhood will suddenly befall you in spite of all your witchcraft and the potency of your spells." He compared Babylon to a woman who became a widow and lost everything precious to her in a single day. The prophecy of disaster coming in a single day is exactly what happened in 539 BC when Cyrus and his Persian army marched unopposed into the city while her king and her citizens were celebrating what may have been the New Year festival, as recorded in the book of Daniel chapter 5 and by ancient historians. So there's the king holding the hand of this molten idol, and Cyrus comes in and wipes them all out. There is no atonement in the punishment and suffering that God has ordained for Babylon because there is no repentance. Babylon has persecuted God's chosen people, especially the most vulnerable, and has stubbornly stood in opposition to God's divine plan to return his people to their homeland. Babylon is now beyond redemption. Babylon will become a symbolic title for any city and its people that stand in opposition to God and persecute his elect. St. Peter will refer to the city of Rome as Babylon in 1 Peter 5:13. During a period of intense persecution, the Christians prior to his martyrdom in 67 AD. And in the book of Revelation, Babylon becomes a symbolic name for the city of Jerusalem that persecuted the church and rejected the Messiah. So we see that God had used Babylon as a way to correct the offenses of the people of Israel. But Babylon did not give credit to God for their victory. Instead, they were arrogant and mistreated the people of God. So God uses Cyrus of Persia to defeat the Babylonians and free the remnant people of Israel. Isaiah's message of hope is really what I focus on in this lesson. I often find myself saying, anything is possible with God. This statement is said in Scripture many times. The angel Gabriel says it to Mary when she questions how she will get pregnant when she's never been with a man. Jesus states it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, when the rich man comes to him and asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." For the people of Judea living in captivity, I am sure they experienced despair. Hope had to be hard to come by while being subject to another empire. But through the voice of Deutero-Isaiah, the message is sent to the people to look at the gods that they had that had to be carried on the backs of beasts and cattle. We hear no other message in this lesson. We need to hear this one, the one that's 46, chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. "Hear me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, my burden from the womb whom I have carried since birth, even to your old age, I am he. Even when your hair is gray, I will carry you. I have done this, and I will lift you up. I will carry you to safety." Nothing is impossible with God. Our God is a God of hope, consolation, love, and faithfulness. God created the heaven and the earth, for nothing is impossible for God. God freed his people from Egypt, sent judges, kings, and spoke through the prophets to help us understand how he wants us to live. For nothing is impossible for God. God sent his spirit to a young virgin who gave birth to our Savior. For nothing is impossible for God. Jesus cured the lame, gave sight to the blind, and raised Lazarus from the dead. Because nothing is impossible for God. God the Son picked up the cross in order to sacrifice his life to wipe out our sin. For nothing is impossible for God. And after 3 days, God the Son defeated death through his resurrection and ascension into heaven because nothing is impossible for God. Our Creator breathed life into us and shows us his love and faithfulness by carrying us through even the hardest times of our life because nothing is impossible for God. Cling to hope in all things. We believe in the one true God who will never forget us, who will always carry us, who will shower us with love and affection, and when we come face to face with him, will show us his overwhelming mercy, for nothing is impossible for God.